Well, good morning again, New Life family and Facebook world. Wherever you're watching from today or whenever you watch this, welcome to our worship service. This week, our service is a bit different, as it is for all of us. Circumstances are changing day by day still, and so we're making the necessary adjustments and safety precautions. And so it's a little weird for me today because I'm the only one at church. I can't even use the scripture where two or three are gathered in His name. It's only me. But I'm so grateful that you're able to join with us today. I'd invite you, as I did last week, to still continue to participate in our worship today. There will not be live music, but I certainly encourage you to find ways to worship throughout the week and to worship with your in your own way, to be sure and take that time to worship the Lord. I want to begin by just letting you know that one of the best ways to stay in touch with us throughout the week is be sure that you like our Facebook page and that and or we have your email. So every Wednesday, I'm getting a message here. Making sure. Sorry about that. And so every Wednesday I send out a weekly lifeline that's just a short devotion that's posted to our Facebook page and it is sent out via email. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, please let us know. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He lives in me and in you. And so as we gather today from our very many different places, we are united under one name, the name of Jesus Christ, and we are united by His Spirit, and may His Spirit bring resurrection power. Let's pray together as we begin. Our gracious and loving God, we thank You. We thank You that when we look to the heavens, You are there. And we're thankful, O God, that even when we are in the depths, that You are there. We are thankful that there is no place on earth that we can flee from Your presence. And so, Spirit of the living God, would You come and meet with us wherever we are at this day. You know the needs of our hearts and minds and souls. Lord, we need You. And so begin to minister to us, speak to us the words of life that we need, that we may become better followers of You and become more and more like Your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we share in this time together, I pray You'd lead and guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I do want to invite you to continue to participate in worship by giving to the Lord and giving to your local church. You know, we do not give to the church or give to God when there is simply a need. We give because God has first given to us. And so there are two ways for you to give, just as a reminder. You can go to trynewlife.com, select the Give tab. You can give a one-time gift or set up reoccurring giving. We certainly invite you to do that. Or you can mail a check to our address, 4188 Wintree, Wintree Drive in Newburgh, 47630. And we certainly appreciate your giving in this time. I also want you to know that you can submit prayer requests also on our website. I'll probably move the tab to find it a little bit easier. But if you go to our website, Try New Life, select I'm New, and go down and submit a prayer request. And that prayer request will be emailed directly to me, and so that's not shared publicly. And I would be glad, I would consider it a privilege to pray for you today. We'll pray again in just a moment, but would ask for several prayer requests. We continue to pray for our nation. We continue to pray for our hospital workers, our doctors, medical staff, and nurses. We think of those in the hospital who are caring in the cafeteria and those who go up and they are cleaning the rooms and so many staff that takes. We pray for them. We're praying for our retail workers who are just working round the clock to supply for us. And so we want you to know we're praying for you. And we're praying that God would heal our land and our world, that this COVID-19 would come to an end, and that we would be able to continue to live life as we know it. I would ask that you would pray for my grandpa. He might be watching this today. I hope that he does. But my grandpa lost his twin brother last Saturday, and we had the funeral yesterday, so please be in prayer for him. And of course, we give God thanks. Last night, if you live in southern Indiana, we had very, very serious storms and tornado come through. I know the downtown Newburgh area was hit very hard. Reports this morning, the last I read, is that very minor injuries. And so we give God thanks for that. But we do know that there may be some needs that we're made aware of in the days ahead. And if you know those needs, please share them with us, and we'll find ways that we can help as we go on. Well, there is good news in the midst of all of this. The good news is that God's church is not confined to a building, but God's church is still being the church. You are the church. We are His hands and feet. And so I was encouraged last week. I know that Sarah Burke sent home some gift bags for her kids that she teaches on Sunday mornings for parents and kids to work together. And I just wanted to say, Sarah, thank you for doing that, for the time you put into that. And parents, I hope that you're using that. Also want to say thank you to our children's director, Miss Lynn. Lynn sent out a video this week to our different age children. And so if you did not receive that, that would only be because we either do not have your phone number to send it to you or an email. And so if you would like to receive that, just message us on here or go through the church website and email us. We'll be sure to add you to that. Just want to say a big thank you to that. That even in the midst of all of this, God is still present and working through the lives of His people, and I say thank you. Well, I was pretty discouraged last Sunday. I went home because I knew that Sarah and Emerson were watching on TV, and I was really, really excited to see Emerson's reaction to seeing her dad on television, and I thought, this is going to be great. She's going to think that I'm the best dad ever. And I go in, and I ask Sarah what her thoughts was, and word for word, she saw me on the screen. She goes, "Dad, Dad." She laughed at me, and then she went to the other room to play for the rest of the time. So, I don't know. I'll try and do better this week. And then it didn't help matters that I got on Facebook, and Megan Spradlin had tagged me that her dog Luca slept through my entire sermon. But when the praisers got back up for a closing song, she woke up. So I don't know. Here we go, Luca. I'll do my best to be more entertaining this Sunday. Let's begin together through the Word of God. The title of my sermon today is Out of the Depths, and I'll be preaching from Psalm 30. When I was in elementary school, one of the highlights of my summer was swimming lessons. Part of it is because I got to go with some of my friends and my cousins, and so we had a lot of fun. But when someone is learning to swim for the first time, there are a few rules that must be established. First, do not, under any circumstance, eat before swimming. If you do, and you do not wait the full 30 minutes, there will be a mother somewhere who gets another wrinkle. Okay, bad joke, and I just lost half my viewers because you probably tuned out. Do not, under any circumstance, swim in the deep end when you're first learning how to swim. The deep end is for professionals only. And you will want to try it. Trust me, you will. But the depths present a danger that most of us are not yet ready for. Here's the thing. You will, at some point, want to go to the deep end. At first, when you're learning to swim, the deep end of the pool, it doesn't hold all that much appeal. Because let's face it, you're pretty comfortable in the shallow end. If you want to dip your toes in the water, you can. If you want to wade waist deep in the water and just kind of hang out and cool down, you can. If you want to go a little bit more and submerge yourself underwater without ever losing the footing on, having your feet on the ground, staying planted, I'm trying to say, you can. And best of all, in the shallow end, you can do what I like to call the dad lean. It's the one where you lean back on the sidewall, you know, and have your favorite appropriate beverage in your hand. You know what I'm talking about, the cool hang back lean. Let's face it, the shallow end, it's comfortable, it's good, it's easy, and we like it. But there will come a moment where the deep begins to call out to you. It will begin to entice you to come. And we'll do what no one has ever dared to do before. We will swim underneath that rope. You know the rope. The rope that when you're told not to go under, that you went under. Oh yeah. That separates the shallow from the deep. And when you're on the other side of that rope, at first it doesn't seem like a big deal. In fact, the deep end isn't all that mysterious or powerful. You think there's not that much to it until you start to walk a little bit. And there comes a moment where your feet begin to leave the ground and you have to start to swim. You see, you can be shown how to swim in the shallow end, but you truly don't learn how to swim until you're in the deep end. Now here's what I know about the deep end. The deep end is fun. You can do things in the deep end that you can't do in the shallow end. But the truth is, we can't stay in the deep forever. Because eventually, we will lose energy, we will grow weary, and we will begin to sink into the deep. Have you ever had that sinking feeling in your life? Where everything that was certain, the bottom begins to give way. Where you are doggy paddling with all of your might to keep your head above water. There's just so much going on, and yet you feel like you are beginning to sink. Sometimes we sink in discouragement. Sometimes we sink under the weight of worry and fear. Sometimes we sink under the weight of addiction, under the weight of doubts, under the weight of anger. Sometimes we begin to sink under the weight of our own responsibilities. There's so much that we have to do and so little time to do it. We just go as fast as we can and we work and we work and we work, but we can't keep up. And eventually we begin to sink into the depths. Now the psalmist says in Psalm 130 verse 1, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Hear my voice." Now the understanding, the language that the psalmist used, it's language that he's been crying out for a long time. In other words, he's not in the deep end of the pool. He is out into the ocean. That the circumstances are much more difficult than just being in the pool. That the waves, the tidal wave has pushed him out into the deep. And he is now in the middle of the ocean with nothing to do but to try and hold on. And he's crying out for help, crying out for help, crying out for help. Now we know that when you cry out and yell for long periods of time, you know what is about to happen. Eventually, we begin to lose our voice. Our voice begins to grow hoarse. And just before we lose our voice, it's no longer loud, but it goes down to a very whisper. Imagine the psalmist in the middle of the ocean beginning to sink into the depths under the weight of his circumstances he cannot change. He's about to go underwater and all he has left is a whisper. "Lord, I cry out to you." Now in the middle of the ocean with no one around, no one will hear his cry for help unless there is someone who is near. You see, when we're crying out from the depths, no one can hear us unless they are nearby. So the very fact that the psalmist says, "Lord, I cry out to you from the depths, hear my cry," reminds us that even in the depths, even when the bottom gives way, even when we feel like we are sinking and overwhelmed and we cannot overcome the circumstance or the struggle, our God is near. He is an ever-present help in our time of need. Oh, somebody needs to say amen to that. Since I'm the only one here, I guess I'll have to. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Now, the psalmist goes on, and he begins to talk about, as we're crying out to the Lord, he begins to talk about how God answers us. And in some ways, if you're reading the psalm, he says, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." Now, I don't know about you, but I was reading that this week, and my thought is, wait. You're in the middle of the ocean, you're beginning to drown, you cry out for help, and God wants to talk about the forgiveness of sins? Talk about a sidetrack of a conversation. But the psalmist reminds us that God's redemptive activity, God is a God who redeems His people, but God's redemption is less about rescue and more about restoration. It is less about God rescuing us from a situation. It's even less about God rescuing us from sin, though that is a big part of the gospel. The other part of it, and the fullness of God's redemption, is that He is restoring us for a purpose. God isn't just going to rescue us out of a situation so that we're not in the storm anymore, so that we're not in the struggle anymore. He will rescue us for a purpose, so that He will fully restore us. Now, make no mistake about it. Sometimes we find ourselves sinking in the depths because we have sinned. We all have made bad choices that have led to consequences in which we are struggling with. But just because sin has the power to sink us, do not assume that when we are in a situation where we are in the depths and we are crying out to God and God is saying, "But there is full forgiveness with me," it doesn't mean that we're in the depths because we've sinned. But hear me, when we find ourselves in the depths, we are always in danger of sinning. Because when we are in a sinking situation that we can't control, that we can't stop, that we want to get out of, we will get desperate. In fact, they train lifeguards that if you are ever going to rescue someone who is drowning, to try and rescue them in a way where the person who is drowning, the victim, cannot grab hold of you. Because in so many cases, they are so desperate for air, the person who is drowning will push the person trying to rescue them down just so they can survive. When we are in desperate situations, we will do anything to get out of it. And sometimes, that even includes sin. Because we think we just have to get out of it. And once we get out of it, here's the false lie of sin. Sin will tell us, "See, isn't it better now?" But the truth is, all we've done is made the bottom, the depth, bigger and deeper. And what will begin to happen is that even though we're out of the situation, the guilt, the shame will take us deeper than we ever were before. It will keep us longer than we ever intended to stay. And it will cost us more than we were ever willing to pay. You see, the good news of the psalm, the good news of the gospel, is that God is in the business of full redemption. His purpose isn't just to rescue us out of situations. His purpose is to redeem us for a purpose, that we might serve Him. Now, there's this time, this waiting period between God's rescue and the full redemption that we have in Him. Because the psalmist goes on and says, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. In His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman wait for morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." It's interesting, the psalmist doesn't say, "I am patient for the Lord." Patience is when we're having to wait without a purpose. But waiting, as according to the psalmist, is waiting for a purpose. And he uses the illustration of watchmen. Now, watchmen in ancient cities, they had a wall built around them for protection. You remember the story from Joshua about the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They had walls to protect them. And on these walls, they would have watchtowers. And there would be men stationed in the watchtower overnight, and they had one purpose. Their purpose was to look out and see if the enemy was coming. And if they saw the enemy, they were to alert the rest of the city to wake them up so that they would be prepared for battle. But the watchman, no matter what he did, he could not make the morning time come any sooner. Instead, he simply had to wait. And when you're waiting for God's rescue and redemption, it's easy to get distracted. You know, a watchman sitting on the wall could look down and say, you know, there's a crack in that wall, I ought to go fix it. And while he's fixing it, the enemy will come. Because in the waiting, there is a purpose. And here's the purpose, the psalmist already told us. The purpose of waiting for rescue is that we will learn to put our hope in God's Word. God's Word is full of promises. Promises that He has kept. Every one of them except one, and that is that one day He will return and take us to be with Him. But all the other promises He has been faithful to in Scripture. I think of God's promises like the lifesaver. When someone is drowning and before they get to the person and can reach them, they will throw a lifesaver out with a rope attached, and that person will grab hold of the lifesaver and just lean on it and cling to it because it's giving them temporary relief. But think about it. A lifesaver isn't meant to stay in the ocean. A lifesaver is eventually meant to pull that person in so that they are not just rescued from the water, but that they can get safely back to land. There is a greater purpose. You see, God's promises are like that. When we are in sinking situations, when we are overwhelmed, when we feel like we're drowning, there is a promise in God's Word that will leap off the page. And it was as if He threw the lifesaver out to us, and our job, our responsibility is to cling to that promise. It's to memorize it. It's to put it on our hearts. And the times we feel overwhelmed, it's to go back to it and repeat it and hold to it because we know it's true. But we also know that there will be a day when full redemption comes. In this time of waiting, for the coronavirus to be done away with, for people to be healed. In this time of waiting for our lives to go back to normal, as we want to call it, let us not forget our purpose in the waiting. You know, if you were sitting here, you know I'm pretty transparent to a fault, so I guess I need to be the same way even when the whole world is watching. There's a lot of pressure on the church right now, and I suspect there's a lot of pressure in your jobs too. Some of you have more time than you've ever had, but there's a lot of you who have more pressure in your jobs because of this, and the church is one of those places. And there's pressure on us to be doing more so you can offer more resources to people and do more Bible studies online and to do more services and to do it better and bigger and more and all of this stuff. And listen to me, this is great. I'm so excited about the way God's church has risen up. But in the midst of this, I wonder if we have forgotten the purpose of our waiting. The purpose is not to be rescued out of the situation. The purpose is to learn to rest by trusting in His promises. So here's the message you're going to hear until we get back to normal, as we want to say. In this time, our goal is not to do more while we're waiting. In fact, our goal is to learn to do less. Because what we are saying when we try and do more is we're trying to say that we can rescue ourselves. We can get out of the situation ourselves. You see, it takes more work to trust in God than it does for us to work to get out of it ourselves. Because when we work to get out of it ourselves, we just stay busy all of the time. You see it? The doggy paddle, staying above water, just more and more and more activity. And maybe what God is doing is saying, I'm calling you out of the deep end and to go back to the shallow end and to do the lean on the wall and to rest. To do less, not more, to trust me in what I'm doing. What's interesting about this psalm is that this psalm is actually a psalm of an ascent, of an elevation. This psalm would have been sung by the Jews as they were making their yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship. And what's interesting is that to go up to Jerusalem, you ascend up the mountain. And the psalmist reminds us that before we can ascend, we must first descend. Before we can go up, we first must go down. Before we can grow tall, we must first learn to grow deep. This week started mowing again, and so I was mowing for one of my customers, and they told me, they said, now I have two little trees in the backyard. And when she said little, she actually said wee little trees. And I tell you what, the wild onions were taller than this little twig that was probably no bigger than that. Had she not told me, I never would have seen it. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, why even plant a tree so small and so tiny? In fact, the danger of it even making it, when the grass will grow taller than that tree for a while, is so much greater. And it's because this wee little tree isn't focused on growing taller right now. Its job is to grow deeper. Not by trying to do more that everybody can see, but actually learning to do less. To focus on the invisible. To focus on the secret places. Because we know that as a tree grows deeper and gets its roots deeper, it then one day will be able to grow taller. And only because it's deeper will it get taller than all the other grass and wild onions around it. What am I trying to remind us? Is it's okay to go back to the shallow end. It's okay to go back and to rest and to focus on the part that seems like we're not doing anything. The part that God does. The roots. Because as God grows us in this time of resting and waiting on His promises, after the time and wait is over, He will take us higher and greater and stronger than ever before. It's strange to me that in the midst of all of this changes and things that we're going through, that Easter is only two weeks away. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday after that will be Easter. And I wish that we could gather together, but more than likely, just barring an outright miracle, that's not going to happen. But I was reminded, let us not forget, that Easter, the promise of resurrection, it's coming. You see, the psalm may start in the depths, but the truth is, it stops in the depths too. By the end of the psalm, the psalmist hasn't been rescued. He only has the promise of being rescued. The promise of resurrection. The promise of full redemption. Church, may we not forget that the Word of God has resurrection power. May we not forget as we're waiting, we are waiting on the resurrection to come. That just like Ezekiel standing in the valley of dry bones, that the Word of God can begin to rise up that which is dead and bring it to life. That we're reminded that even when God seemed to be slow coming to the tomb of Lazarus, that He was the resurrection and the life, and He brought resurrection power again. Church, we're not just waiting without a purpose. We're waiting on the promises of God. We're waiting on full redemption to come and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's coming. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray together as we close. Jesus, thank You that You came to our rescue. Thank You, O God, that when we find ourselves sinking deep in sin, that Your love comes and lifts us out. I pray, O God, for that person who may be listening now or later on, who finds their life full of sin, sinking beneath guilt and shame and emptiness, searching for something. Oh God, I pray You would speak to them and lift them out of the depths of their sin and bring them into full redemption with You. Lord, I pray for those today who find themselves so busy, so overworked, stressed to the max. To those who find themselves staying at home with their kids and they never thought they would do that for such a long period of time and they're just tired and weary. And Lord, I pray that You would come and You wouldn't just rescue us to change the situation, but that You would redeem us to change us. I pray for every person that will hear this or listen to this message that You'd send them a promise that they can hold on to. Oh God, we pray You'd bring an end to this virus. We pray for those who have been infected already that You would bring healing. We pray for those who are serving on the front lines in our communities. Protect them, O God. And Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones from this, that You would comfort them and lead and guide them. O God, we're waiting on You, but we do not wait without a purpose. We wait in hope that the resurrection is coming. It's in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, have a wonderful week. I will see you back on Facebook Live next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Have a wonderful week.